It's episode 237, that's 237 of the Kaiju Popcast. Welcome one and all. I am your host, Chad O'Brien, and joining me today is the one, the only, Chris Charlton.
Hello.
And nobody else. We're on that rotating system again. I'm sure, yeah, it's good. I'm sure someday we'll be back together. Maybe within the next few weeks to talk about E3 predictions.
At least three, I think. When is E3 again?
E3 is June. I believe it's the third week in June. I could be wrong, but I know
I might be back for them.
June 13th to 15th.
Yeah, there you go.
That is the second week. Just entering the third week, but yeah. So we should have three more episodes between now and then, three including this one. But this is not the E3 prediction episode because I don't know what to predict yet because we're sure to have many more leaks within the next few weeks, and it would therefore be premature to make prediction when all those leaks are gonna pop out. I should say that although these leaks are in air quotes, because we all know how companies like to say, "Oh no, how did this ever happen?
How could this possibly have leaked?"
Oh my god, this beautiful image of Mario and Rabbids has somehow surfaced upon the internet. In crisp, clean, right. I say beautiful, but it's half beautiful. The non-Rabbids part is beautiful.
Mario has like a Rabbids equivalent already, because like he has like the minis from Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Tremendous.
You could also say, I mean, even the baby versions, they always get up into trouble.
And the toads, all the toads, all them crazy toads, like in Super Mario Sunshine, they were always like squawking that.
Sounds more like a Yoshi there, but So let's just talk about real quick. So we don't have any kind of details about what kind of game this is going to be, other than apparently it's an RPG.
I would imagine in line with your Mario and Luigi's is.
Yeah.
Or whose mate is Ubi making it?
I believe it's been reported, but of course this hasn't been officially confirmed. It's been reported that Ubisoft is doing like the heavy lifting, and Nintendo is basically just there to give it extra value with the Mario characters. Tell us more about the Rabbids, because seriously, I don't know much about them. What are they? What kind of games are they usually in?
So the Rabbids, I want to say, they're spun off from the Rayman games. I wanna say that Rayman 3 or something like that had Rabbids in them. And then there was Rayman Raving Rabbids, which I believe was on the Wii. And then they were on several other Wii games. And then they became very much their own thing. There was a TV series, I wanna say, they made of them. Mainly you're looking at minigame junk, right? So Wii shovelware was mainly what they're known for, after being cutesy comedy characters from the Rayman games. They're very much like Minions.
Oh, okay. Then why not just have Mario and Minions?
Probably because that is a more prestigious license or whatever.
That's true.
Universal own it.
Plus, Nintendo would actually have to do the work there because Pixar are not game developers. Or wait, not yeah, Minions not Pixar, Pixar or DreamWorks?
DreamWorks,
yeah,
I think.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, same boat. They are not.
Is that aren't the Minions a spin-off of something as well?
Yeah, the Minions came out of
Despicable Me?
Despicable Me, yes, the one with Gru. Right. I believe it was just called Gru in Japan, so.
Right. So I'm gonna have to check that my rabbit's history is accurate.
Yeah, then they had Despicable Me 2, which focused more on Minions, and then Minions, the movie itself. Minions upon Minions. Right.
Well, here we go. Raving rabbits, are known in France as Lapin Crétin, the idiot rabbits. there you go, spin-off from the Rayman series. I was right.
Okay. Right. And, I mean, they certainly look like idiots, in this art. So the leaked quote unquote artwork, that we have just says Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And it shows, all of these rabbits dressed as Mario characters. Like there is a Peach rabbit taking a selfie. And then, the actual Mario characters are also present, equipped with various types of laser cannons, it seems, including Mario wielding a Mega Man blaster.
That's not good.
No,
remember when they gave Sonic a gun? That wasn't good either.
That's right. He finally ended his career. but, right. Well, I mean, if the rabbits are as popular as you say they are in Europe, then I suppose this will find a lot of success there, while a lot of it will probably find success here just because of Mario, or not, you know.
I'm sure it'll do fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yes.
But people will be scratching their heads the entire time. Who?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the characters have reasonable cachet, I suppose. The thing is, again, we're heading into E3, as you mentioned. Do Ubisoft have a press conference this year again?
I would imagine so.
So in that case, my follow-up is, what the fuck happened to Ubisoft? When I think, like, there was always that aspect of them, but they're just, like, but they went through phases of being so good, right? And I can identify, like, two separate phases where Ubisoft were, like, the best publisher. You know, like, because there was that part in the early 2000s where they went on that run of, like, Prince of Persia Sands of Time and, like, the first couple of Splinter Cell games, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were doing like really cool stuff, and then like Ubisoft were just a few Tom Clancy games and nothing much in particular. And then like they had a resurgence. I want to say about sort of 7 or 8 years ago when it was like all of that stuff with the UbiArt framework and
right.
You know,
Child of Light and
Child of Light and Valiant Hearts and those Rayman reboots and oh yeah, we're gonna make Beyond Good and Evil 2, seriously. now like all of that shit is gone. Like they haven't made anything interesting, you know, in years at this point.
I mean, you say that, but at the same time they are dominating the sales charts.
Well, yeah, that's it. So I've answered my own question, really.
Right. Yeah. They just go for the lowest common denominator now. Rainbow Six Siege, Ghost Recon Wildlands, For Honor. All of these are, top selling games.
Did For Honor do well?
I mean, it's number two for the year so far. Right behind Ghost Recon Wildlands.
I want to almost say it's like a slow, I mean, it's not a slow year, but I think like all of the really good games we've had this year have been like single platform.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of like the multi-platform games have been, you know.
But yes, according, I just looked it up, and yes, we do have Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, is making another conference this year, along with, EA, Microsoft, Bethesda, another PC gaming show that no one will pay the slightest attention to, Sony, Nintendo, well, they're doing their own thing, but yeah, and then first timers, Devolver Digital, which, that one was a surprise to me because, they've had issues with EA in the past, or, I forget the ESA, I believe that's. To the point where they were one of the first to say, like, we're just gonna do our own thing on a different lot. But yeah, so, Devolver Digital makes some good stuff, so, but it's all indies, so it's like, can you really make a huge conference out of that?
I don't know whether you can make a huge conference out of anything.
That's true. It's that's absolutely true.
So fucking fractured, and even like the platforms, but even like your Sony's, it's like you don't need 2 hours. Like you can make a really tight 1 hour show, and it would be good. But and so yeah, everything's disappeared so far. It's up its own fucking ass. You know, I think like when Bethesda started doing it, it was like, oh come on, you know, because it's like you've got it. It's not to say you don't have good stuff. You've got good, interesting stuff, but like you don't need to fill 2 hours with like 4 games. Like come on, you know.
Well. On that note, though, I mean, in this pre-E3 build-up, and Ubisoft in particular, one game that was a huge news topic this week was, Far Cry 5. The next Far Cry. This was not a leak by even, like, fake means. They put out an image, then a live-action teaser, and then a full-on trailer. Far Cry 5 is coming out. We'll probably see. At this point, I mean, Far Cry has a pretty quick turnaround from, like, announcement to release. So we'll probably see.
Yeah, like, I want to say they said February 2018 or something like that.
Okay, so we'll probably see, like the opening bit, like they did with Far Cry 4. Where some hapless traveler will just be, hitchhiking through Montana and wind up in the worst God-fearing county there is, apparently.
But I wonder whether there'll be a bit in it where it will just be like, just sit here for a bit. Then, well done, you won the game.
That's right. So, in case you missed that, what I was talking about earlier, this is set in Montana. Far Cry is actually a near cry for people in the States now.
For people who live in Montana. Like I think right now you've suddenly inadvertently stumbled into the race trap. everywhere, Chad, is near where people are.
Well, no, but I mean,
far, it's far from us.
No, but Far Cry itself is never near like an actual civilization. It's always
a real place on a map.
Yeah. It's always on some kind of deserted island or something like that. So this has become a contested issue. Because people like making issues out of complete non-issues. So Far Cry 5 set in Montana, that's not the big issue, but the cast of villains is. So apparently, the people that the protagonist will be facing this time are very hardcore but cultist type Christians, who believe in an extreme, ideology. You gotta sacrifice people who don't, conform and stuff like that. This has set the internet ablaze with people who are upset that any game would ever make Christians the bad guys.
It's probably set ablaze with the very same people are angry at the other people that were angry at the people that were angry at the last one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you remember when there was like the, I can't remember what the guy was, the bad guy's name. And there was
Pagan
like,
Min, yeah.
Right, and they had that art where there was like he had some black slave or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And they had to explain that even he was not white. Like,
yeah, right, yeah. And so yes, and there was yes. So the very people that were upset at how dare you get upset about white guys up to getting black people, are now angry at this. This prompted my favorite Twitter thing of today. Which I sent you in the thing where some guy, you know, where like some guy, obviously the first thing somebody said was like the straw man role reversal argument of if they'd made this guy, I won't dignify his name with his tag here, but if they made an equivalent game of shooting up gang members in the inner city, most of you would have a meltdown. Keep it real, dog. And then there's this reply where it goes, there are lots of games about that. He goes, sure, buddy, so many, in fact, that you can't name one. And then this dude jumps in, he goes, well, Grand Theft Auto, Saints Row, Gangstar, Streets of Rage, Crackdown, APB, Battlefield Hardline, Hitman, Mafia, Sleeping Dogs, Retro City Rampage, The Division, Max Payne, Kane Lynch, Urban Reign, River City Ransom, Rainbow Six, Lego City Undercover, The Batman Arkham Series, Door Kickers, LA Noir, Driver, Police Quest, Die Hard, True Crime, SWAT, Pursuit Force, Virtual Cop, Smash Cops, Need Speed Hops, You and Infamous, and I presume much more.
Yeah, yeah, it just goes on and on. And yeah, I mentioned that that I've seen the same thing when it's like what if this is like in a time when America is under the threat of like Muslim attack, why would they go after Christians instead of Muslims when, you know, every war game ever has been
literally that Medal of War. There was literally the Medal of Honor like reboot game. Do you remember where until they were forced to change it for the game's release, it was U.S. forces versus Taliban?
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, I think like there's a point to be made here, and like one of the things that stuck in my craw a little bit was one of the things that's not in the trailer is the fact that this is more of an RPG-ish Far Cry, in that you are able to customize your character for the first time. You're not a set character, and you can choose your gender and your race going into this game, and that in conjunction with, and like, bear in mind, I haven't seen anything material of the game, but in conjunction with like this fuss about like white killing white supremacists or whatever, it got to me in the same way that BioWare gets to me, and a lot of AAA stuff gets to me, is that I wonder whether somebody had this idea of you playing as, you know, I wonder whether someone had this vision of a non-white, perhaps non-gender conforming, you know, perhaps non-traditional protagonist for this kind of a game. And then them being, well, you can't do that. So we're going to the false kind of bravery, which is be whoever you want, you know? It gets to me with, you know, and BioWare is different, you know, because they make fucking full-on RPGs, but it always, like, gets to me where, like, the games that are held up as the beacons of progressiveness offer this kind of false progression where it's, you have this path that's non-conforming if you choose to take it, but nobody in AAA has had the balls to make you play in like that non-conforming role. And it always like, it smacks to me of the fact that we're still not as a medium that much past, you know, say GTA San Andreas, right? When when that game was revealed that it had a black protagonist, the backlash from horrible sectors of the internet was unreal. And yeah, that, I mean, like, it's not, you know, it's not a big thing. And like, again, not, you know, not knowing the context of the game, but like Far Cry has always been about a kind of, I mean, obviously non-linear gameplay, but like, it's a first person thing and you're always kind of a fixed character. Mm-hmm. And why would it matter anyway? You know, in a first person shooter, very often you're kind of a cipher. And perhaps that's why, you know, it's like, be whoever you want. But at the same point, why can't you be someone that's, you know, why can't you say this character is this person and it's not necessarily what you think a traditional protagonist is? It gets to me. Character customization, in a sense, gets to me.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. At the same time, like, character customization it's just kind of a staple now of the Western RPG. I mean, Far Cry has been kind of an outlier in that, it just gives you a set character and you are this person and he has, you know, a set history, a set race, a set gender, and, everything like that. Whereas, yeah, you talk about your BioWare's, your Fallout, well, BioWare is, yeah, but, the only thing I can think of that comes close to that is something like, Mafia 3, where you are, a black protagonist who fights, against, the white supremacist, kind of criminal syndicate that is in, I forget what that city is called, New Bordeaux, I think it is. But the New Orleans, of that game. And obviously that's kind of set within that time period, so they're kind of going for that. But, yeah, that's, I mean, that's a first step. But yeah, I don't think we'll ever see anyone take a major step like that because, it will hurt sales.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, yeah. That's ultimately the, yeah. It's depressing, right? Isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's depressing because, you know, because that's the, I think like that's the choice. And it, you know, it's like always, you know, it's, I feel weird or uncomfortable talking about it because I'm in the big percentile here. You know what I mean?
Right.
I am the white cis male, but like, you know, I mean, as you do identify somewhat off that track, like it does it, ever get to you to like video games you can be a white straight male or you can be whoever you want. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
There's not it's not a game that's simply, you know.
I don't say it really gets to me because for me specifically, I tend to role play characters. In a game that lets me kind of customize, my character, I know it sounds kind of stupid, but I tend to make, like, my main go-to is actually Toshiro Mifune, the Japanese actor who, was in a lot of samurai movies. So when I do that, I kind of just act like, what if Toshiro Mifune was in the modern world? The modern world. Right. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I go like this, you know, I just have stupid fun with it. Which is, but I mean, you know, there are other people who take the stuff a lot more serious than I do. And yeah, sometimes I can see their point, but again, I think a company is totally in the right to just think about their sales.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, just leave it to the indie scene to take care of the rest, I guess. I mean, when an indie game, like, treats the subject matter well, it does tend to get attention. Like, Life is Strange has protagonists that are very out of the norm. That was beloved by critics and fans, and now that's going to be the next PS Plus game. So
I'm looking forward to playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's still a lot of room for indie developers to make themselves known, as long as, again, they can do it well. There are some limitations when it comes to, funds and stuff like that, but, I'm always interested when I hear stuff about that. Non-typical protagonists and stuff. Serious shit going down at Kaiju Pop. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Ubisoft try to, at the same time they do this Far Cry 5, they'll be like, okay, here's more of our artistic selections.
I hope so. Yeah. Far Cry 5. But Far Cry 4 was really good.
Yes, it was.
It was really good. You know, I have to remind myself that I really enjoyed playing Far Cry 4. Yeah. Because the rest of... It's not even... I don't think they make bad stuff, but it just feels like it's all dog shite. You know? I guess it's because of their E3 stuff. Do you know what I mean?
And also because I think Ubisoft knows about the tropes that everyone has for them, or like the towers, and they just lean into it.
And also it's totally I don't know, it's our friend of the website, Tana Parker, on Twitter tweeted me, and he tweeted out, and I saw this tweet and I was like, that's not right, and I was going to make fun of him, but then I thought, nah, but now I'm going to bring it up on here. But he tweeted, I'm totally going to support Ubisoft for this Far Cry 5 stuff. I'm going all in on this fucking political messaging stuff. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. But they also made Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is about white bros going into Colombia. And...
right. Before Rainbow Six Siege was Rainbow Six Siege was a salvage project from a Rainbow Six Vegas spinoff, which was going to be about shooting up all of the Occupy Wall Street people. You know,
and so, you can also look at things like the first this goes way back, go to the first Assassin's Creed, that's about a white guy in present times who dreams of himself killing Middle Eastern people.
That's true. Made by people of all faiths.
That's right. That tease, that splash window that comes up every time. We'll see what they have in store. In the meantime, we've been, I think that's, pretty much all the real news that's come out this week. Some stuff that I'm personally happy about is, that the Switch is getting some love from Capcom, in that Monster Hunter Double Cross will be coming to the Switch. And apparently I'm not alone in being happy about this, because the mere announcement of this caused Nintendo's stock to skyrocket. Something about, I believe it was $2.2 billion worth of, revenue in one day, of trading.
And yeah, I thought Monster Hunter had cooled off. Evidently not.
Yeah. A lot of people were expecting it, the announcement, really early on, but, apparently they held off. So for people who do have Double Cross, just some quick notes. If you get Double Cross on the Switch, it is compatible, so you can transfer your data to the Switch. And if for some reason you don't like taking your Switch on the go, you could transfer your data back to the 3DS at any time. So it just goes back and forth. And you can also do multiplayer across the platforms. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And it's interesting because it came out, the announcement came out the day after, there was an article, I'm sorry, an interview in, I believe, 4Gamer? I could be wrong about that, but, yeah, there was an interview talking about the Ultra Street Fighter 2, game that was released, and Capcom saying that they're kind of got a tepid approach toward the Switch, or at least that's how the translator of the interview, interpreted the comment. But, then, yeah, the day after that, it was like, oh, by the way, here comes Monster Hunter Double Cross. But, yeah, so new games coming to the Switch, or, well, old games, but given a new shine. Although I will say it's also funny at the same time to constantly hear news, from various outlets of games that are not coming to the Switch, as if people have some kind of realistic expectation that they would. Mm. Like, I see headlines like, Destiny 2, not coming to the Switch. Oh, really? Who would have guessed?
But that's somebody now is bringing that up because it's like the Switch has some traction, I suppose.
Yeah.
So now every, I think like that, you know, every reporter sees somewhat in his purview to say at every single event,
yeah,
what about the Switch? And they're always going to be told, no.
Yeah. In no uncertain terms. Yeah. Not even like, oh, we're looking into it. No, just no.
No. But, you know, whatever. Like, I'm cool with it being my Zelda machine until Mario comes out. And Although I do want Fire Pro Wrestling World to come out on Switch because the portability stuff would be great for that game.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I'm sure you can get in touch with the people who are making it, so.
I have, but for a different thing, for a different reason.
Okay.
But,
well, get in touch with them again, and oh, by the way,
put it on the Switch.
That's right.
I think people are already saying that. Okay. Sharing stuff, that's the thing, because, like, it's coming out really, really soon, Fiber Wrestling World. But, the Steam version is all, like, Steamworks, so it's, like, easy content sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they put that on console, it's like you're going to have run your own servers or do weird stuff for people to actually share their creator content, which is such an important part of that game that they haven't gotten figured out yet.
Yep. June 2017, according to what I'm reading.
There's an event on Wednesday where presumably, I don't know, they'll either announce the date or they will just put it up on Early Access.
Mm.
On Wednesday.
Well, we will look forward to that.
Yep.
But in the meantime, we have games that we can play right now. For me, I've got three that I've played. Well, two and kind of a demo that I've played this week.
I've got kind of a demo and Zelda. Zelda, you know, talked enough about. I keep on taking screenshots in that game.
Yeah.
Keep on doing it, because, like, every so often it's just like, oh, that's such a good looking thing.
Yeah.
That just looks so good. It's all just, it's amazing how you're moving through that thing, that space, in such a non-linear, random walk fashion. And yet, its scenery is framed such that you're never that far away from, like, a really gorgeous, like, vista.
Yeah.
It's really fucking rad, you know. It doesn't really matter at all that enemies pop in and out, like, about 20 feet away from you.
Although I will say, at night it does get a bit annoying when you're trying to do stuff like that. But yeah,
the only what annoys me is less at night, but more the fucking weather. It irritates me. Of like, guess I better just stand here and wait for this rain to stop before I climb up this fucking mountain.
Yeah, or you know, pull out your ocarina and just play the song. Oh wait, we don't have that.
Yeah. Snap! Someone's gonna bring out. They're gonna bring out an ocarina amiibo, and then like.
That's right. Or a DLC. I will say that it's always been just kind of a funny little thing to me that Link only loses the stamina when he's actively trying to climb. So even if you're somehow hanging at an angle that a super steep angle, you can stay there for hours upon hours. But if you take that final little oop, goodbye.
Right.
Yeah, but, so the games I've been playing, I actually, dove deep into VR, again this week, because I've been kind of neglecting it, and there have been, several experiences piling up. Would you like the, psychedelic experience or the adorable experience first?
Well, tell us about the psychedelic, because Polybius, I was kind of... That's actually available outside of VR as well, right?
And yes.
I was very nearly going to get it, being as how I do enjoy my Jeff Minter, and I did thoroughly enjoy TXK.
Right. So I actually just made a couple of videos of both of my games tonight. I'll post them up on YouTube in short order. But... first off, let's talk about the kind of protracted history of Polybius. I only have a slight knowledge of the history, but Polybius itself was actually an urban legend among the gaming scene in the early 80s, in that a lot of people apparently reported that this arcade game called Polybius, was copyrighted in 1981 and had appeared in some arcade in Oregon. And it was of such popularity that it always had lines around the block and people fighting just for a chance to get to play it. And at the same time, there were mysterious men in black on site at all times, studying the effects of the game on its players. A little urban myth out there. Nobody ever found any evidence that the game ever really existed. Some of the side effects of players were said to be, that they would have amnesia, insomnia, like night terrors, hallucinations, things like that. But again, the game never really appeared. The kind of joke was that Polybius itself came from the name of a Greek historian who is famous for saying that one should not make stories that they can't verify through interviews with witnesses.
Right.
So the game's been in kind of the knowledge, the occult knowledge or the urban legend knowledge for quite a while. Then Jeff Minter was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make that. He originally said that he actually made the game, or he was making the game based on like what it said, the game had done to the people who played it. But, then he kind of backtracked and just said, like, I'm just making a game and giving it.
He just basically said, I'm making Tempest again.
Basically.
My favorite was when, do you remember when Space Giraffe came out on the Xbox 360? And like, if you went into just like the how to play on that, it says, Space Giraffe is not Tempest. it's Tempest, isn't it, Jeff? Really?
Everything's Space Giraffe. If you look hard enough. But yeah, so Polybius itself is a shoot 'em up. I played in the VR mode. I have not tried 2D mode, so I don't really know how the experience will differ. But VR mode is a trip. So it's a really hard game to just kind of put in words. So you move along a track. You're not free floating in space here, but you are in a kind of spaceship. And you can move left and right, shooting targets that pop up all over the place. Some of them shoot you, some of them are just obstacles. And as you move along, these bullhorns appear, because Jeff Minter loves his cows and llamas and bulls and everything. So these bullhorns appear, and they're kind of gates. If you pass through them, you get a boost in speed, as long as you keep shooting things and building up your combo and running through those gates, not only will you boost your speed, but you'll get like a deflector, which allows you to hit things without taking damage because your ship has, a set number of shields. Now I've only been playing in the classic mode, you start with 3 shields and every stage you complete gives you an extra 3 shields. So if you lose, let's say you play stage 1, you lose 2 shields, but you finish the stage, you'll have 4 shields in the next stage. And it kind of saves that data, so whenever you have the level select, so if you go back to stage 2 at any point, you'll have 4 stages.
There was a TXK was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's pure mode, which, doesn't add any shields, and YOLO mode, which is, kind of self-explanatory. There's even like a trophy, if you get to stage 13, in YOLO mode, you get like a Teen Spirit award or something like that. But, So, the stage designs are extraordinarily kind of psychedelic and trippy with, you know, purples and blues and greens and, kaleidoscopic colors and, everything going on around you. And when things go into full speed, it's almost impossible to really understand what's even happening because everything's exploding. It's just hard to keep track of, but that's kind of the point, because the game is not so much about just racking up your score. It's just kind of like finding your flow and getting into that.
Right. Yeah. It's, yeah, lots of, I imagine, you know, just going off TXK and even things like that are like in that vein, something like a Geometry Wars or things like that. It's all about throwing a lot of abstractions at you.
Yep.
And you have to be able to mentally discard that and pass what's actually important. To continue to survive, sort of thing.
Right. A lot of this abstract stuff comes, it's not just visual, there are like the trippy colors. Sometimes like you'll get audio stuff, like, for several stages, you just hear a flight attendant giving like her, you know, safety speech. how to attach your seatbelt buckle and everything. And then in certain stages, when you destroy certain enemies, you'll get like a flash of a word. It's almost fast enough that it feels kind of, kind of subliminal. It's really simple stuff. Like, I feel absolutely fantastic, or, I like to eat cheese. Or just go on.
There was a game in the mid-90s called Endorphin that actually did have subliminal messages in it.
Ooh.
And this actually led to the game getting banned.
Yeah.
Re-released without the subliminal messages. Of course, like all the subliminal messages were things like, you know, love everybody and have fun and things like that. So it was kind of, you made a big deal out of nothing there. What was also, kind of appropriate was that the game was rubbish. So that it was called Endorphin was kind of appropriate in many ways.
Yeah.
But this is fun, is it?
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, I can't stop playing. Maybe there are subliminal messages telling me to keep going.
Good. So what's the other thing on the PlayStation VRs?
So the other thing I played was Nog. As the game likes to call itself, Nog. Right. So that is GNOG, Nog. It has 9 worlds, unless there are any hidden worlds. I don't know. So this is also an interesting title. It's developed by a Canadian, art studio, with help from Double Fine.
Yeah.
In cooperation with, I forget his name now, but, a toy enthusiast, who originally was going to make a lot of, 2D puzzles, but, after talking with Double Fine and, the company, the Canadian art studio, co-op mode, co-op spelled with a K, they decided to make it this kind of, 3D puzzle instead. And this is also available without VR. You can play it, 2D mode. But you're gonna lose a lot, really. In this game puzzle kind of thing, you interact with one of 9, noggins, heads. And each one of these heads has a puzzle within it. But each puzzle also comes with its own rules, whether it be some kind of physics-based thing or a logic puzzle. For example, one of the ones I just finished, before coming on the podcast was a kind of multi-tiered house, where you're trying to help a thief rob everybody in the house, but to do that, you have to make everybody get distracted by various things. For example, you have to make one man go to sleep by turning off all the lights. You have to make another one close her eyes by turning on the shower, so she's washing her hair. I'm not going to go through everything, but yeah. So you do all these tiny little things, and there's a lot of individual puzzles that you have to solve for each house or each head. Then when you finish, the head kind of gives a little dance and says, hey, thanks. Then you go into the next one. What's really nice about it is it's absolutely fantastic artistic direction, which, is kind of what you'd expect from a Double Fine game anyway. It looks really nice. Every puzzle, is engaging. And one thing I really love about it is that it has a progressive kind of musical thing. So the further you get towards solving the puzzle, the more the score kind of builds up, until you finish the puzzle, and then the head kind of adds its own little track to the music, and everything around you gets shiny and bright, and it's fun. And like I said, when I was introducing my games, it's kind of just an adorable little thing. Every head is presented as kind of a lunchbox in the level select. Or maybe a Lego collection, those little boxes with the tabs on top. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty short. You can solve a head in 30 minutes, or less, once you've got it. If you want to go back and solve them again, then you can, there's an easy option right from the main menu where you can just delete data and restart.
More of a sort of bright pastelish version of The Room.
Yeah.
I get the feeling, just hey, pull these things, you get a little puzzle, beep, 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 and then something else opens up or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so your demo was my demo.
That's right.
And
did you get to play the second time? So, like, an hour before now?
No. Did not play in the most recent of the ARMS Global Test Punch.
Yes.
They're going... You can only play it an hour at a time.
Yes.
When the servers are up.
First off, what is ARMS?
ARMS is... That's a good question. ARMS is a Nintendo fighting game from Nintendo for the Nintendo Switch Entertainment System. And it is a game where the characters have long, bendy arms, hence the name ARMS. And you can put different things on the arms in order to give you a little offensive or defensive benefits, and then you fight each other. Predominantly, it seems like the push is to fight each other online, and hence why we've got this public beta going on. But you have to be quick and be playing at specific times a day, for a few hours a day or whatever. They have this system on, even if you just want to play the tutorial in one player, you have to be playing at these fixed times, which is a little bit irritating. Now, I played this initially. I did do the tutorial in single player, and then I was playing because my son was up because it was 9 a.m. Then we played two player. And so the two player, obviously you play with the Joy-Con each and you play with the buttons. But the single player has you holding both Joy-Cons and doing motion controls. And it does seem to me like this game is designed for the motion controls. Seems very strange to say this, but like the button play was fucking terrible. or my experience with it was. I guess like there wasn't a tutorial for that stuff. The tutorial assumes you're just playing with the
right,
with the motion controls. And it doesn't teach you how to play with the buttons.
To be fair, I mean, I didn't... Maybe it just goes based on how you load up the system.
No.
Okay. So you loaded it up with like the control?
I loaded up the system with like both the Joy-Cons in the holder.
Okay.
And like doing it that way. And it's just like, yep, hold it with the thumbs up grip. Because it plays like, I don't know why, because like these are people, right? The premise is that these are people.
Right. And robots and amorphous blobs.
But they're not people in the robots, are they? Or are they? Are they people in robots? Because I just got the idea that they were just people with bendy arms.
There's one. I think there's one that like rides a mech, but there's also one that just is a robot.
Makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense in the context that you'd be a robot because like that does kind of feel like what you're doing. You're tilting to move.
Yeah.
So you have a Joy-Con in each hand. And then you're tilting them both together to move around. You bring them together to guard. And then you sort of punch to punch. And if you arc your punches, then your punches curve, which is kind of clever, I guess. And you can jump and you can dodge and you've got a couple of special moves. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of it's going to be about the loadouts that you have that make it interesting. And then there's different modes in it. So, cause I was playing with my son. So there's like general like fighting. Then there's like team modes where it's kind of everybody's like blah fighting each other. And then there's another team version mode where you're two teams of two and you're tied together. So like you've got that rope connecting both of you, and then there's like a beach volleyball thing I played as well. Like I don't know whether presumably there are more modes in the actual game.
Apparently there's also three man free for all.
I got that as well. Popped up for me. I don't know what you think about this one, Chad. It felt exactly what I thought it was going to be, which was kind of a shallow feeling. Maybe I think if you want depth, you can probably find it with like the different loadouts and stuff.
But yeah, see that That's the contention I had with, like, so you mentioned in the morning that you, you almost won a fight, or did you win a fight?
We won one, like, me and my son, it was like a 2-on-2, and we knocked out one of the two, and we got the other person to, like, near death, literally by, you know, my son is my son and can't play games for shit. And I didn't know what the fucking buttons do, you know, because the game doesn't fucking teach you that. So literally we were barely looking at the screen at like mashing on the buttons.
Yeah.
We did pretty good.
But it's like, my point of contention with that is that, it was the very first round of the test punch, which means everyone in the world has just started this. And true. You're probably playing with other people who are like dads and kids, or maybe just two kids together.
That's true. That is true. There is that. There is that. But there's people saying that, you know, that this is, they want this to be a new kind of Splatoon. Fighty Splatoon. I don't
see that because, Splatoon, like, in terms of, you know, our favorite term, esports, but, like, in that, you have a four-man team, like, it's, like, those things are built around teams. I guess you could make teams out of arms, like, oh, this guy's really good at the mummy guy, and this guy's really good at Helix, but I don't really see that. But at the same time, like, I'll say I enjoyed my fights. I had about, 10 fights, in the last one, the last test punch round. And some of them were the 2-on-2, some of them were 1-on-1. I won about 30%. I had fun. There is some depth. Like, one of the things I really had to try to teach myself is to turn your wrist away from your body, which is, you know, just kind of, not the natural way to turn your wrist for most people. So, for example, like if you, we haven't really explained. So yeah, the motion controls, if you throw a punch, you'll throw a punch, in the game. But if you want to throw like a curved fist, then you have to throw a punch out and turn your wrist either left or right. Naturally, most people, if they're going to turn their wrist, would turn their body, turn it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I won, like, the matches I won, were at the end when I was learning to, like, okay, throw out a right fist and turn it right, because they were trying to dance around, my side. And there's some other stuff, like, there's a rock, paper, scissors system where, if your, throws beat blocks, punches beat throws, and guards beats punches, kind of thing. Unless it's a super heavy punch with a, I can see people enjoying it, and several people on my Twitter feed have said that they're all in on day one. I'm not one of those people. More power to them. I mean, most of it is for me, there's just no single player content, and that's what I need. I don't want to play against random strangers on the internet who are going to be far better than I am.
That's the same with everything. Yeah, that's why Splatoon 2 is going to fall down the wayside for me, even though, like, it seems there's more missions this time around, but I mean, it is just still mission stuff. So.
Well, Monster Hunter, that's coming. So, that has plenty of single player content. I've put in at least 200 hours into every Monster Hunter game that has come out since 3. So,
Well, it's still playing Zelda, so.
Yeah, and that'll give you over 100 hours on its own. So, and those are the games we played this week. So guess what? There are other games coming out next week. Yep, not a lot, though. Not a lot.
Okay.
So we'll just go through these. We have Astro Duel Deluxe coming to the Switch. No clue what that is.
It's been around. So it has, it's been around on also, I think, like, mobile platforms, Steam, It is a competitive, it's one of those competitive, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And suddenly, like, Windows came up with Skype is not operating properly.
Oh, okay. Well, I can hear
you. So that's the thing. But so we'll keep on going. I won't touch anything. Yeah, this is one of those couch competitive games that Buddy enjoys.
Okay. Yeah. So that is coming to the Switch. We have Danger Zone coming to the PlayStation 4 and PC.
Does it have Kenny Loggins in it?
It does not, to the Danger Zone. But, yeah. MXGP3, the official motocross video game for PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
I don't know about you, Chad. I can't play a motocross Grand Prix video game if it's not official.
Yeah.
It's not officially licensed by the Federation International de Motocross.
MXGP3 Star, the unofficial.
MYGP.
My GP3.
MyGP.
There you go. Star Trek Bridge Crew. I feel like every week that this is supposed to be coming out. I've said it several times. But it keeps getting pushed. Star Trek Bridge Crew for Vive, Rift, and PlayStation VR. Ease Origin for PS Vita. The Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 5, for everything under the sun. Don't Knock Twice, a VR horror game for Vive and Rift. Tokyo 42 for PC and Xbox One. The Seiken Densetsu Collection is coming for the Switch. That's coming to Japan, but since the Switch is region-free, you can pick it up. I don't know if it'll include English. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure we'll find out.
I'll pick it up. So, we'll find out.
There you go. So you can tell us next week.
That's right. Get my hot take. And then, Tekken 7 is going to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. VR support.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is, I saw some video of the VR stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
what is it?
It's just like you're just watching. It's just like you're watching the match.
Okay.
Like you're there. You're the referee, so to speak.
Doesn't put you in first person Hadouken mode. Which I hear is really janky on the Switch.
I just hear there's not much to that.
Yeah. I hear the game itself is the best version of that game ever, but it's $50 and no one's going to pay $50.
Yeah, and also you'd have to buy a fucking new controller to play it because fuck playing Street Fighter 2 on Joy-Cons.
Yep. Other games that are coming out. We have, I don't even have box art for these. No description.
Yeah, we're looking at the same.
Yeah, good old PlayStation blog. which has just gotten lazier and lazier as time's gone. But then again, we're just reading off of it. ACA, Arcade Classics Archive, Neo Geo Metal Slug 2, Neo Geo The Last Blade, Bricks, which I'm assuming is Breakout.
Might be a puzzle game, that. Might also be a puzzle game.
Maybe Bricks and Cross Out. But Damascus Gear Tokyo Battle HD Edition. That's obviously a shoujo game.
I thought it was like Tokyo Highway Battle.
I don't know. Energy Balance. Enigmatis 2, The Mists of Ravenwood. The popular follow-up to Enigmatis 1. Locke's Quest, that's...
there you go, that's an ancient DS game.
The Insult Simulator.
I think we're getting this. This is a mobile port.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I've heard the mobile game is very good. So...
Paddle versus paddle. This is obviously a rowboat paddle versus a ping pong paddle.
You'd have thought that would be a PSVR game.
That's right. Polarity Ultimate Edition. In case you were a fan of the original Polarity. Shu. This one, I know it's a platformer. Because all I know, the only reason I know that is because people were like, "Oh, Shu Yoshida must be in it." But this list also says Star Trek Bridge Crew is coming out, so it's official. I don't know. Tekken 7 again. Thea, The Awakening. Don't know. And then East Origin, as we already said. So, those are your games for next week.
What's the best one out of those ones?
I probably won't pick it up, but, East Origin would probably be the best. I just don't have time for another full on JRPG.
Well, those mana, probably that mana.
I don't have time to complete that as well, but I'll start.
Old games, I have actually played a bit of Tekken 7. Seems alright.
Okay. Look forward to all that. Meanwhile, this week, soon I'll have the quick vids for both of those VR games I talked about. Also going to put up a couple of reviews like Outlast 2, I mean.
Well, I'll put up the June retro stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is not that much. I was looking at mainly E3 1997. That was an exciting. It had such exciting things as the PlayStation analog controller.
Ooh.
Before it was the DualShock, because it didn't have vibration in it.
Because of licensing issues, right?
No. This was like they put out like this analog thing. It was just the analog controller, and the DualShock came later.
Okay.
And what else was there? Resident Evil 2 was there. Metal Gear Solid was there. A little game called Duke Nukem Forever was announced to the public for the first time.
We waited for with bated breath.
Yeah. Daikatana was in there as well. So it was lots of long delayed.
Yeah.
First person shooters and GoldenEye 007 F-Zero. Like quite an E3.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, meanwhile, you can check out all that stuff on our website at kaijupop.com. You can also check out our social media sites. We are on Twitter at kaijupop, YouTube kaijupop, or you can follow us personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
I'm at ReasonJP.
And we want to thank you for watching, listening, liking, subscribing, and doing all that. And we'll talk to you soon. So, goodbye.
Farewell.